Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him. I'm a queer political activist, actor, comedian, self-proclaimed sexy blur. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by other fabulous minorities and some allies tackling the news, pop culture, politics, media, entertainment, and history with a little self-care, self-love sprinkled throughout, all for our own personal and collective empowerment. Aneke is back, she, her, and you know her, you love her, MKOG, co-creator of the very show you're listening to. She's our friendly neighborhood librarian, and we are going to get real nerdy here, y'all, because, listen, we need some nerdy goodness today in this day and age. We need some nerdy goodness to bask in. And Marvel has gifted us with their trailer of the new Disney Plus series, WandaVision. And Aneke went down the YouTube video Easter egg rabbit hole, so we don't have to. She's got all kinds of great insights. Plus, there's other exciting MCU announcements. We just need some of that good right now, because we're going to pivot, a hard pivot, to... Judd Apatow, him of all people, just surprising it's coming from him. He's calling out Hollywood for its silence on the Chinese concentration camps that are happening in our lifetime right now. It's insane. And then we turn the mirror right back on us here in the U.S. because we are up to some shenanigans as well. It's like it's World War II all over again because eugenic practices are happening in IS detention centers, and we talk about that here on U.S. soil. In the main corners, it's in corner number one, the election is coming up, and if you've seen the new Stacey Abrams doc All In, then you know one of our biggest hurdles is going to be voter suppression. And I go all in, pun intended, on a deep dive of some of the most surprising facts about voter suppression, its origins, and how it is currently stealing our votes. But don't worry, we're also going to talk about what we can do about it. Do not despair. And as part of Hispanic Heritage Month, Aneke takes us back in time to Texas for an inspiring story about Jovita Adar, activist, teacher, journalist for La Cronica, and all-around American badass who stood up to the Texas Rangers. And you know about them. We've talked about them on the show. And it's just a really inspiring story. Hopefully it will inspire us all as there's work to be done. Also, Hollywood, take note about Jovita Adar, and we've got a director in mind for you. Yes, all this and so much more on this week's Minority Corner. It is time to learn, laugh, and play. Let's go. Lounging with Nat.
Yeah, that's me. Shoes off the bed. That's like one of the things that I hate the most. Whenever I watch a television show, immediately takes me out when they hop on a bed with their motherfucking shoes on. And I'm like, you nasty. Yes. I can't follow your story. Yep. Take your shoes off when you're on your bed. That's where you sleep.
That's what we call in the industry bad direction or even bad like art direction or like bad acting. Like that means the actor is so not in their world that they're not grounded in it. Mm-hmm. It's like, would you do this? Unless it's a character choice, but we're not all like, you know, Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah.
You know, just terrible.
Who's a mess? You know,
Kimmy Gibbler probably a mess, going over, stomp, 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 mud everywhere, jumping on the bed. Kimmy Gibbler, we don't do that.
Yuck.
Or Roger. They're usually just like
just
bad
hot
neighbors.
Hot mess parade trains coming in with your shoes on. I'm turning into an old woman, or you know, who knows? But I'm a mature woman. I don't even know if I want shoes in the house anymore.
Oh, I don't. After living in New York, I was like, oh hell no, I'm not traipsing the city into my house. And then I realized wear is dirty, so no thank you. So props to cultures, like I know it's popular in like Asian cultures, Southeast Asian cultures. Mm-hmm. Like
no shoes in the house. Yeah, bite. I think
take them off.
I know it might be a little bit of a culture shift with, you know, since we carpet's easy, you got carpet, no shoes in the house, easy. But if you got hardwood floors, it's easy to just forget and go stomping on in.
When did we just become the HGTV channel? And like, we're going in hard
and angry.
And passionately on
we're
this
going in angry.
Oh, take those
take
shoes
your fucking
off,
shoes off. Outside is nasty.
White people. I'm just kidding. I don't know how it turned into a race thing.
Hey, you know what? This is Minority Corner. This is Minority Corner.
So we're here for it. I hate it, and I can always tell when there's an empty coffee cup.
Yes. People need to. Yes.
When they're holding a
break it down.
Put some water in your damn props.
Yes.
Like, just put some water in your damn props, and there you go. I can tell that it's empty.
Same.
And you're just waving it around.
It needs to be weighted. So, it needs to, like, there's a weight in it. You need to take an actual sip, because when you take a sip of coffee and it's just like a whoops, no, you got to process the liquid down your throat.
It's how hot is it? The temperature of it? Like, you got to take your time with it. So, Hollywood, when you get back to work, listen to this. We got notes.
We got notes. And we're watching you. We're watching you, Hollywood.
Speaking of something that we're watching, you and I are Marvel Ride or Dies.
Yep.
And the Marvel goddesses,
sure.
powers that be, blessed us with a trailer for Wanda fucking Vision.
This show's going to be bananas.
Wild. I'm super excited, because, you know, actually what's interesting, because of COVID, originally Falcon and Winter Soldier was supposed to be the first Disney Plus Marvel series,
yes.
But they had to pause because they weren't able to complete their action reshoot.
Oh shit,
over
so
in
that's
Europe.
The reason.
That's the reason why. But WandaVision, they were like, we're done. And the WandaVision was always on track to be
we're
released
done.
Towards the end. They're like, yeah, because Falcon Winter Soldier was actually supposed to be released in August.
Yeah, okay.
Our She-Hulk has been announced.
Yes. Oh, no, this
what's,
is...
What's her bucket from Orphan Black?
Tatiana Malazzi. Malazzi?
She's going to be She-Hulk.
Who was excellent in Perry Mason. Highly recommend.
And just as excellent all around. Yeah. Like, She-Hulk is one of my favorites because she's like the Hulk, but she's still her,
she's a lawyer.
You know? She's just badass.
She's just solving lawyer. Crimes green. Okay. Ready. Ready for this?
I think I already know what you're saying.
Deep dive. Neki's gone into a deep dive. And I have to give you a little
deep dive
with the Neki. So the reason that I've been really getting...
Give me WandaVision.
So, well, precursor to WandaVision, how I got here is let's all face it, we're all hovering around depression right now because times are tough. So...
Which is why when that trailer came out, you were like, joy, joy.
But even more so, because for the past couple of months, I've been watching this YouTube channel called New Rock Stars that I highly recommend. And they do these breakdowns. And they did a Marvel Easter egg Endgame rewatch of all the Marvel movies. And then they do an upload and they show all the little Easter eggs. And it shows how detailed Marvel is with setting up things from the very, 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 very beginning to Endgame.
Right.
And then on to phase four. So I've been just watching these and eating these up because it takes me out. It's not talking about COVID. It ain't talking about anything. It's just talking about Marvel movies and Easter eggs, which is fabulous. And so when this trailer came out, I just got real excited because immediately I've been primed. I've been watching all of these Easter eggs. I know what they've been trying to set up for phase four, but all of these things just keep kind of, it's actually fascinating how phase four is ruined by all of these controversies. First, the James Gunn controversy for the Guardians of the Galaxy, which was supposed to shepherd in the new phase four, because phase four is supposed to be like psychological crazy, woo, mini-verse, all of this stuff, right?
And
Quantum Realm.
Adam Warlock coming in.
But because of the James Gunn controversy, they had to push that back and go more Black Widow territory. Right. And now COVID's like been fucking shit up. And like you said, Winter Soldier was supposed to be first, but now it's WandaVision. It's just... bananas.
And we do have a new release date for Black Widow that just came out today.
Ooh.
It is now being pushed. It was supposed to be November, which was originally Eternals release date. It's been pushed to a year later, May. So it was supposed to come out in May of this year. It's going to be May of next year, which is great because that means I need to see this movie in theaters.
Right.
I don't want no Tenet shenanigans. I don't want five people in the US like, okay, my auntie in Colorado got to go see it. Cuver. I don't want that. I need to see this movie in theaters. So what I needs is y'all to get your shit together. And I know you all listening are fine. But
like who are you talking about? Oh, y'all wear a mask or getting vaccines created?
Wear a fucking mask so we can go to the fucking movies and go see Black Widow. We have a year. We have less than a year. Plenty of time. We can turn this beat around. If in Europe they can like get their shit around, we can too.
I don't know.
I needs to see me some Black Widow come May 6, 2021, get it together.
I mean, I'm more hopeful for a vaccine to be available, before people wearing masks by then.
Oh, wow. So you're more hopeful for a scientific miracle
yes.
than people doing what they could actually do to help us.
I told you I'm hovering around depression right now. There's a reason for that.
That's all fair. Did you see Little Miss Grown-Up Monica Rambeau
okay.
show up in the WandaVision
trailer? Wanda and Vision living through TV. Wanda, Scarlet Witch, is fucking using her brain powers, magical powers, special powers to alter reality. And she's altering, is Vision alive? Is Vision not alive? What's going on with that? Monica Rambeau, Tiana Paris, motherfucking yes, natural hair wonder. So glad she's back. Mm-hmm.
And Monica Rambeau, you met her as a little girl in Captain Marvel. So she later becomes the hero Photon in the comics. So they're introducing her, setting her
She's about our age. Wouldn't she be then? Because that was like 90s and she's like a little girl. And so she's an adult now. Yeah, so she would probably be around our age, right?
Mm-hmm. She also does take the moniker Captain Marvel at some point in the comics. So I don't know if that's also going to be a thing one day when Brie Larson is ready to
Brie Larson is like,
I mantle,
just
she's
got
just
here, James.
I'm not trying to push her off. Not trying to push
she's
her
She's like, give
off.
Me a second movie, James.
Oh, I just want to throw out, like, because I don't want to forget, but there is an announcement that the Ant-Man and the Wasp and Giant Girl, I'm assuming that's what the title might be.
Oh, because of his daughter?
Because that's his daughter becomes Giant Girl. If you're going the trend, Ant-Man and the Wasp and Giant Girl. Ant-Man 3, Kang the Conqueror is going to be the villain, which is really exciting.
Jonathan Majors, black man in
Lovecraft Country,
the hottest. He's a hot man.
Fuck.
That
we'll put a pin in Lovecraft Country because when it wraps, we'll have you come back and we'll
yes.
do a deep dive.
Thank
that.
You very much. But first and foremost, can we just do a quick little clap for the costuming person who puts those tight shirts on that beautiful body day in, day out in Lovecraft County. Hottest cast this side of the Mississippi.
The sex scenes are beautifully done. Mm-hmm. So classily done.
I get a well.
They're not.
It's
like,
a
you know,
horror
no
movie.
Getting,
it's not like they're like
milk splattered all over them. Oh, that's true. But some other stuff gets splattered. I don't know.
From some of the things that have been splattered, I would rather have milk. Thank you very much. Instead of a tail up my butthole.
Okay, spoilers. Okay.
Nobody knows out of context.
Out of context. Yeah, that's true. Anyways, we're super stoked for WandaVision.
Yes.
Okay, something that not as, like, something that I'm surprised this person of all people is calling this out, and this does connect because, you know, Marvel shoots some of their movies in China. China sometimes is a distributor.
Also, China,
for the Marvel movies,
period. Are geared for
produced.
The Chinese audience because they're a huge
yes.
buying population. So, yes, connected that way.
And in fact, in Doctor Strange, they had to edit, I think, Tibet having any involvement in mm-hmm. the Doctor Strange movie because of China's, like, issues with... So there's already
Ooh.
A sense of censorship.
Ooh, James.
Yeah.
Speaking of Doctor Strange.
Okay, and I can...
Like, what you mentioned yes. before. So
okay.
they had to...
You did go down that rabbit
I'm
hole.
I'm telling you. I have. So Doctor Strange in the Multiverse, which is going to be the sequel to Doctor Strange.
Which will have Wanda in
which
it.
Which will have Wanda in it, and it is connected to Wanda Vision. So, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse was supposed to be the first like horror Marvel movie, and it was mm-hmm. going to be directed by this yeah. one guy. I forget his name. I think he directed the first Doctor Strange, and he was really excited about it, and he was thinking about pulling different okay. characters in, and then him and Kevin Feige got into kind of a thing because apparently he wanted to mm-hmm. use like demons and devils in it, but because of the Chinese market, they don't like having demons and devils in their movies or in their, you know, media. So that's one of the speculated reasons why this one director left. And now that's why we have Sam Raimi as the new director of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse.
Which, love me some Sam Raimi, and who knows the directions that he's going to be taking.
Evil
in.
Dead.
The problem. Mwah. Oh yeah, I also like he did. He gave us the first
yes.
you know great trilogy of Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire.
I think what you're talking about is the problem is that like when Hollywood or artists get censored
yep.
over another, especially because like again, Hollywood is one of the most powerful places on the planet, and we're in a real great space of telling messages that we want to tell
yes.
of like diverse voices, And I started noticing this when I would see production companies, like almost every movie that you see, one of, you know, like there's a different like bad robot, like the things where you think the movie starts, but then it's like not the movie. And then another one happens. So like, oh, I didn't realize it'd be a girl like swimming in a lake in this movie. Oh,
production
no,
company.
Lionsgate.
Yeah.
Yes. And you get like five of them. I know. Like, oh, okay. Oh, airplanes are in this movie about like a romantic.
No, production just, company.
So I started seeing ones from China, and because again, there's a great market, they're a huge market, and there's a lot of money, and so Hollywood's like blink blink money,
right?
But then the problem is when it starts becoming towards censorship, right? And they're
bleeding into storytelling.
We're changing our movies because we're afraid it won't, you know, work well. Something that Judd Apatow also called out, and I had been hearing about this in the news, and we hadn't really talked about it here on the podcast because there's always so many terrible things to talk
about. Hey, it's a packed, it's a stacked deck of a year. You got material.
But he was calling to attention that the concentration camps that do exist right now in China with the Uyghurs, the Muslim Uyghurs right now, John Oliver does a great deep dive into
It. It's so good.
Hollywood's just turning a blind eye. Like Mulan was, you know, filmed in a province where that was happening.
It's a mess.
And they're just like, go buy our movies. And also sidebar, like I think they had tried to make some edits to Mulan to try to appease the Chinese audience. They didn't even go see the goddamn movie anyway.
They didn't like it. I think that it's too Americanized.
And so it's like, also too, you're jumping through all these hoops to try to appease this market, and then they're not even making these movies. Like Hollywood, you gotta have a backbone, and there is such a thing as dirty money. And I wish that, I mean, you're not gonna get it from this government, where Agent Orange, pretty much, I forget, it's in one of those Talal books that he was like, you know, didn't care about the concert. He was like, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Like, go for it. When he had talked to President Xi Jinping.
Oh my God.
So you're not going to get anything from there. There needs to be more awareness and pushback. Like, we're seeing a lot of the same trends of what happens. If you ever wondered what you would do during World War II or the civil rights movement,
right now,
both of those things are happening right now. This is the moment, and we're being tested.
Yep.
And I just would like to see more pressure with Hollywood, with our governments, and with us wherever we can.
Yeah, so. Like, can we fucking not be slaves to money? That's what it feels like. I feel like everything just boils down to the dollar and how to make money. And it would be nice to at least Hollywood. I mean, I get it. It's a money-making machine, but it should be a creative machine to start off with. Can we have creative expression for the market here in America? And then if it does go out internationally and is successful, that's bonus, that's icing, right? Like, instead of catering just for money, that's going to dim the light of our storytelling. Like, I don't know. It's, and I have nothing, no issues with international stories being told and people telling their, but like when I watch a movie from a country that's not the United States, I'm hoping to get their perspective. I'm hoping to get, you know, if I watch a Chinese movie, I want to get a Chinese perspective. So I would like to hope that if somebody is watching a United States, a U.S. movie, that they would then be getting a U.S. perspective. Like, there, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, but I think it is wrong when we're catering just for money. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like us turning a blind eye to like Hollywood just trying to sell their movies to Germany during, you know, World War II.
Right.
And Germany's like, well, we don't want you saying anything about anti-Nazis. And we're like, great, that's gone. We won't have Captain America punch Nazis. He'll punch a daffodil.
We need to stand up to injustices that are going on. Like,
isn't that what we're supposed to be about? Like, supposedly, quote unquote. But I mean, that's the hypocrisy of it. And I think what you're saying, it shows to that it really is about money. Mm-hmm. That's what it's really coming down to. That, you know, here it is in Hollywood. Like, right now we're having these conversations of like, oh, you can't say that. That's racist. Da, da, da. Meanwhile, we'll go film a movie and there's a concentration camp happening towards Muslims right there in China.
Yeah, I got off on my high horse about the whole money thing, but the main thing is human rights issues. Like, if we're like ignoring people that are, I mean, we need to look at our own issues too. We still have children and people in cages. You know, why aren't we looking at our own shit too? You know, like, we can't just be I don't know. It's just,
You're right. Oh, man. I don't have any more answers. I know. Listeners, go fix the world. I'm sorry. Well,
go vote.
Really,
please,
we just
vote.
Wanted to inform
vote.
You.
Wear a mask. Vote.
We're going to get to that. So something positive that is happening, again, these are your votes and putting pressure on our politicians to do the right things. I want to give some snaps to sexy governor.
Okay.
He signed a bill allowing returning citizens, which you might refer to as, you know, inmates, but we're going to call them returning citizens, to have their records expunged, clearing the path for them to become eligible firefighters when they get released. Because if you don't know this, for one, a lot of firefighters across the country are volunteer firefighters. They do get paid, but it's not like a stable sort of income.
Right.
There's some money that goes in. Some of these firefighters were getting paid like $1.90 a day to go fight these fires.
That's insane.
And then they learned all these skills and then they weren't able to go out into the real world and go get any jobs as EMTs or firefighters.
Because they were convicted, right? Just to add that. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, this is why we need to like return the phrase of like returning citizens.
Yeah.
Like you've paid your debt to society. You've done what we've asked you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And even a lot of government jobs, I didn't realize this as well, are done by inmates.
Really? Like,
and
what
so
else?
I don't have the exact specifics.
No,
but
I could do
to a podcast and it was saying like there's a lot
do my research.
I
said, I'll do my research.
Okay. No, I heard you. I was like, okay, note for yourself. Go look into it, y'all. But there's a lot of jobs. And then, you know, they do these jobs when they're inmates. And then when they become returning citizens, they are allowed to get jobs. So another thing to put onto our radars, and we can handle this, as my therapist said, there's a lot on our plates, but we're going to expand. Oh, girl, I just restarted therapy.
That's healthy.
Y'all about to benefit.
I know. Can you give me some, man?
So we're going to expand to take all of this in because we can. So just another thing for us to expand.
Mm-hmm.
Again, getting rights for our returning citizens. But so snaps to Gavin Newsom,
who very dramatic post, and I have to give him credit for the setup of the picture. He is at a bench in a burnt down forest wearing a nice jacket and some Timberland boots, signing the bill. And you know,
with some ash.
Yes, it's very like evocative. I have to give him props for the theatrics of it because we need that in this day and age.
It's you got to get looks, you got to get the likes, you got to get, you know, got to get the eyes on it. So good job to his team. They knew exactly what, because he didn't have to sign that bill out there. He could sign it.
No,
he put me right in front of the fire.
That's
with
what I'm saying.
Bench that just got burned.
Yeah, the theatrics of it was beautiful.
Part of politics, if you and I have learned anything from Scandal, that part of the political system is the theatrics.
Yes.
It's about the PR. It's about that picture.
Yes.
And it could be either you going to go take a photo with you holding an upside down Bible after just gassing peaceful protesters, or it could be you signing a bill to grant rights to returning citizens who pay their debts, who are going to help
prevent
fire season
the burnt
now.
Down area.
Yes.
And
we're going to be helping and creating jobs and helping us to survive, because also where our fucking tax dollars go.
Exactly. 100%. And put on a nice jacket and a boot.
Mm. Last thing I want to throw out here, just again, everything, I feel like everything old is new again, and it sucks.
Oh, here we go.
Because we already did that.
Mm-mm.
Again, like, it's interesting because I'm already like, okay, we're doing the civil rights again.
Yep.
Like, okay, I'm wearing bell bottoms again. Is that just me?
I mean, if you want to wear a boot cut, I'm not going to shame you.
Yeah, it's a boot cut, okay? It's not a bell bottom. It's a little flare.
It's a little
cut.
Old Navy flare. Just
cut.
A little for your Skechers.
Yes, and my Heelys.
Yes, I almost said Heelys. We were on the same fucking page. I was like, Heelys, no, let me go with a Skecher. And then you came on in.
No, I knew where you wanted to go. I'm going to take it. Touchdown. So this was alarming to me. So you had already mentioned about, yes, and you know what? You're right. Here I am trying to be like, ooh, China, what you doing over there? I see you, China. You got these camps. Let's talk about what's going on in the U.S. You were right, Aneke. Look in the mirror. Take a look at yourself. and make that change. In ICE detention centers in Georgia, a doctor was doing mass hysterectomies on, specifically has been on the Spanish-speaking women who were in these ICE detention centers. And in one of the cases I remember hearing about, one of the women, I think, had a cyst on one of her ovaries, and he removed the wrong one.
What the fuck? This is a, okay, first of all, this is a butcher. This is a butcher. We hear about this stuff.
And he's been nicknamed the uterus collector.
Disgusting! They nicknamed him the uterus collector. Okay. One, we can't put all the blame on him because he had a team supporting him for this. He wasn't in there doing the surgeries by himself. He had a bunch of people around him who allowed this. There's a bunch of people that are keeping these people in detention centers. That's the whole picture. He's the center of this huge fuckstorm. You know, he's an evil, awful, terrible person, but he wouldn't have gotten there without the support of the US government. So we are to blame as well. So this is some fucked up shit that we hear about. Like, we hear about, oh, you know, Lovecraft Country, oh, spooky scientists doing work on slaves,
experiments on enslaved people,
Nazi times, the butcher who like did on Jewish people who were in the camps, like you were gonna say, Tuskegee
experience, what happened, the exploitation of Henrietta Lacks. The list goes on, and this is happening like right now,
You are living through a time that will be seen as horrific and disgusting. We need to be outraged by this. I am outraged by this. Mm-hmm. The fact that they are taking women's reproductive systems means that this is eugenics.
Yeah, forced eugenics. Absolutely. Yeah.
Forced eugenics. And it's fucked up and it's disgusting. And I can't even, it's something so unimaginable to me that someone would take the lengths to do that. It feels archaic and awful that we have been, and I knew that this would happen. Like, I was afraid when we were talking about when Trump was running, we'd be like, oh, it's emboldening the people. I back then, jaded ass me, didn't think it would be emboldened to this level.
Right.
It's out of control.
Is getting this free pass, like the audacity to the caucasity to just come in there and you're not, this woman was like, she came here to get a better life and now she can't have children.
I know.
Like, okay, fine. You're going to have a fucked up, you know, immigration policy that does not actually uphold with any of our past laws or bills or amendments that we've had where people can legally seek asylum. They do not have to come in through the front door. They can legally seek asylum. It's part of our Constitution.
Yes.
I highly recommend also watching the documentary Immigration Nation on Netflix. Mm. It's hard to watch, but like, it's important because it is, unless you like are part, like I know some, a friend of mine was like, I'm trying to watch it but like I did immigrate here and it's a little bit much for me, I get that, so maybe that's not for you,
right.
But like, just to see it's like when people saw Bloody Sunday, that's when they started turning it around and being like, no, we need to get voting rights for everybody, right? And so if it's invisible, it's not really real, it's something that we're just hearing about. It's important to hear these stories, see these stories, so you, like Aneka was saying, you can feel enraged, and from that enraged, we can take action.
Yes.
Because this is, you're right, it's on us, because we've allowed the government to run rampant like this. And yes, disenfranchisement has happened, but like, somebody did it for us and now we're gonna do it for those who need
us. Yes, amen to that. I'm just like, so inactivity is devil's work at this point. You have to be active in some way or form.
Something.
And even if that way or form is just registering and voting, you're doing something. You need to vote. We need to vote this administration out. It's, I mean, literally, we're looking at a coup. A coup is going to probably, an attempt for a coup is going to happen. And the only way to prevent an attempted coup is to make sure the margins are so wide that there is no way that this administration can even attempt to stay in office. And that just means everyone who can should vote.
Totally. Yep. It segues into my corner about some of those hurdles that you might be experiencing through voter suppression. Woo. So through this, we're going to talk about voter suppression, all inspired from Stacey Abrams' documentary All
Yes.
In. I'm going to give you some highlights from it in case you don't have Amazon Prime, or maybe you saw it and you need a little bit of a refresher, because some really good points. So we're going to get into voter suppression and a call to action of all the different things that different people can do at different levels, all hands on the decks. Voter suppression, voter. Voter suppression.
Man, for such a... okay, here's the thing, real quick, James. They found out that I do...
so
I use. I know. So you know what? I need to talk to you about this, because I've been asked to come in to several classes at the college that I'm a librarian at to talk about podcasting. No, well, I do. But this is... okay, so they have me come in to talk about podcasts. And one of the things I always talk about is tone. I'm always like, you got to have the right tone for the right topic. I'm like, you can't just be jokey about serious topics. And now they're going to look up Minority Corner. They're going to listen. And here comes James. Voter suppression.
The theme of this, the feeling was like, we're fighting against it, sort of a theme.
Okay,
like,
all right. You know, okay, that's good.
Come in, voter suppression. We're going arm to arm against you. It's not like a...
but like, in such a kicky sassy with your shoulders.
It was more like, picture the X. I was thinking more so X-Men. Like, you know, at the end of the X-Men theme song.
And
it's the Brotherhood and the X-Men come running towards each other. Like,
yeah.
It's us running towards voter suppression to take it on.
Okay.
That was...
I like that. Okay.
We switching gears.
Back to voter suppression.
Voter suppression. So, and I can talk about like, oh, we got to vote in very lovely. Yes. But we need to understand what we're up against and what we historically have been up against. And I think of anything that 2020
Fuck
has
shit.
Taught me is my response, like, democracy is not a given. Like, it is something that you have to fight for, and it is a privilege.
Yep.
Because if you think about it, like, there's been like so many societies that didn't have this. Like, we're so freaking blessed that we get to
vote
and have an idea of like what we want. And I think that we take it for granted on the daily. Like, we do. I think it's important to look at the history of like other people have fought for our rights to vote, and we have to continue to do the same for the next generation. So this is all coming from Stacey Abrams' documentary All In. You learn what a badass she is, and you hear a lot of her story. She probably should have released... she wanted to be VP. She probably should have released this movie sooner, because people would get to know her.
Ooh,
but her time will come.
She got
I'm
time.
Happy. According to the Electoral Integrity Project, the U.S. elections are ranked
that sounds serious.
Last among Western democracies. We have one of the worst. We have one of the worst elections. The way the system is, the way our democracy is set up, is a joke. And what's so interesting is that, like, voter suppression is happening since the beginning. Back in 1789, we take it back.
Oh, God.
George Washington was elected president, and only 6% of Americans were even eligible to vote. You had to own property. There was all these things. And so there's always been this idea of, oh, yes, it's a free democracy. But it was this group of people who really wanted to collect power for themselves. And unfortunately, they wrote their language too vague. And so we're like, oh, I get in here too. Oh, this means me too. So we snatching that Constitution crown for ourselves.
I did.
Okay. So then you had Reconstruction, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. That was like, hold on, let's undo all this. 15th Amendment gives black men the right to vote. And said essentially, like, you know, wouldn't it depend on race, color, or previous servitude. Fun fact. Not fun fact, but here's a fucking fact. California and Oregon did not ratify the 15th Amendment because they were afraid that Asian Americans, specifically Chinese folks, would be allowed to vote. So then in 1870, when the 15th Amendment was finally ratified, they were like, oh, I guess, okay, we can't do nothing. Think back to also 1913, where 5,000 women marched down Pennsylvania Avenue for the right to vote. You know, you think about women's suffrage. I mean, they have been fighting for 100 years. That, you know, John Lewis got to see, that man fought for like decades, like 50, 60 years. And he got to see the results of the things that he was marching for, which is not a given. Like, there are women who were fighting for their rights who never got to see it. And again, reminding us of our history, of our legacy, because so many of our leaders, the torch is in our hands, and so yes. we need to continue the work.
Yes.
19th Amendment, women were allowed to vote, as we know. And then the Mississippi Plan of 1890. They were
What's
like,
that?
Jim Crow happened for like, Jim Crow existed for like 100 fucking years. So yes. Mississippi was like, we're going to like, you know, not restrict rights on race, but we're going to come up with a lot, like make American, you know, gauntlet for you to be able to vote. So they came up with all these conditions. So like poll taxes. So you had to have, you had to pay, if you owe elections are expensive, so you got to pay like a tax on that. But some people can't afford that tax. So you can't, because black people were being underpaid. So they're like, well, yes. I want to eat and have a house. So then they weren't allowed to vote. Literacy tests, God. Which were traps. Literacy tests were not
yes.
literacy tests. There was a guy no. in it. He said that he and other second and third year law students couldn't even today pass the literacy test. They were so deep dives into like, how many districts are there in your county and how many judiciaries, like deep dives that ain't nobody know that shit.
What a fucking trap.
All white primaries, which I don't know.
What is like, that? James, what is that?
I didn't do the deep dive into it, but I'm assuming that you had to be white to participate in that primary.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Property clauses, grandfather clauses, black, Jesus. And then there were black codes. So it was a yeah. crime to be on a city street without a place to go, a crime to not have a job, loitering. You could, and then you would lose your, then Florida, this is where we get the first disenfranchisement felony law. Florida, 1868, passes a law that if you get a felony, you can't vote. So then the 15th Amendment gets neutralized. And the United, and so this eliminates black folks from the electorate. And the United States is the only country where you can lose your right to vote.
That's really? We're the only one?
It's a shame. It's a
oh
shame.
My God, that's bad. That's I had no idea. I thought that other countries at least had that.
No. And especially if you think about it for like non-violent criminals, I don't care who you are. If you serve your time, come on back, returning citizens, let's go. Like you.
Yeah, especially non-violent. What the fuck? Like, come on.
During Reconstruction, black folks were about 67% of the electorate in Mississippi. By the Cold War, only 3% of age available blacks were registered to vote. By the time you get to the Cold War, the start of it, so when you get the Korean World War. Mind you, black folks going over to fight for freedom for other folks to liberate other people, and we can't look at
man them. And look I just want to I want to emphasize that this is recent history. The Cold War, those are our grandparents,
and the Cold War ended in my lifetime. So I mean, it's still going on now as Russia is attacking our elections. There's an organization I want to shout out, Let My People Vote, if you're like, oh, where can I get involved? It is an organization. Remember, in recent election, Amendment 4 in Florida was going to give 64% of 64% of Floridians said, let returning citizens vote. And we'll get into like what ended up happening with that in a moment. Maceo Snipes, he was a World War II veteran. He tried to vote in Georgia. They put up signs. They said, first Negro to vote. Oh, that was actually really nice of them to say that. This is like, listen to the documentary. Yeah. This is what the sign said. First Negro that votes, that'll be the last thing he ever does. Well, Maceo voted, and they came knocking at his door, four white guys, and he came outside and they shot and murdered him to send a message. Fought in World War II.
And those four white guys are somebody's relatives alive right now.
And that's one of many stories, okay? And again, we're talking about disenfranchised. This is, again, a call to arms for all of us. We have to rectify this.
We atrocity. Do. It's up to all of us.
And when you think about that march that happened in Selma, when they did their march that led to Bloody Sunday, only about 1.7% of black voters were registered at the time because were able to vote. And Lyndon B. Johnson with the Voting Rights Act, at first he was like, listen, Martin Luther King Jr., I can't give you this. I just gave you the Civil Rights Act. I don't have the power. I don't have the power. And Martin Luther King was like, I'm going to get you that power. And that's when he went down, very tactical, to do that march. And then people saw what happened with Bloody Sunday, and it turned the beat around. So again, and like I was talking about that outrage, we need to have that, right? We need to put pressure on our politicians and doing yes. what we need to do, because this is, voter suppression has been a tactic since day one. Keep power in the hands of the few and suppressing other folks. So after the Voting Rights Act, it goes from 54% of black voters in Mississippi. It then goes from 54% of black voters are registered to vote in Mississippi. That's what ends up happening. Mm. And the South tried to be like, this is, you can't make us do this. And the Supreme Court at that time upholds an 8-1 Voting Rights Act saying, nope, this is, you're good. So then at the time, there was the Voting Rights Act needed to be re-ratified or re-signed by every president every few 7 years. And Arizona got added to this list of states because they were being bad actors in voter suppression towards Latinos and Native Americans. They were getting similar treatment that black folks used to get. And essentially, fast forward, the shenanigans really starts to go down. Our voting rights really, so we're making all this progress for voting rights, right?
Yeah.
It takes a turn after 2008. You start seeing a gutting of voting rights because Barack Obama was elected. We are where we are now.
Are you kidding me?
Because of racism. The huge tipping point was Shelby County v. Holder. This is a great case that you, one of those cases you just gotta know, right? Like Roe v. Wade, County v. Holder. So
yeah.
In this time, districts started being redrawn, and this is when we start having gerrymandering happening, right?
Yeah.
And to the point where there was, I think it was in, I don't have the exact state. Maybe want to say it was Mississippi. They, or Alabama, I think it was in Alabama. There was redistricting that happened where, you know, there were 70% of African American voters. And then after their gerrymandering and voter suppression, only about 29% of African American voters were able to vote. And the one black guy in the city council lost his race. And so this case happened, and Supreme Court was like, nope, this is fine. I see nothing wrong. And it's that set of precedents. And if you think about it too, in that county between 2000 and 2010, Latino and black populations of Shelby surged by 300 and 100% respectively. So they were like, oh, we can't let this happen. Yes. So the Supreme Court was like, no, this is fine. Like racism is a thing of the past. So in February 2007 and 2019, this is when the Supreme Court heard the case Shelby v. Counter, which before this, the law had required that there was 9 states, like I said, had to get federal approval to do anything like do any redistricting or any of these things. And these states were going ahead and doing it. And the Supreme Court was like, that's fine. And mind you, Justice John Roberts, he hated the Voting Rights Act, and he was a mentor of William Rehnquist, who he was the guy in Arizona that was doing all the voter suppression towards Native Americans and Latinos. And the Supreme Court voted in a 5-4 ruling that everything is fine. We don't need these, you know, regulations or laws anymore. And Justice Ginsburg wrote the dissent, and this is the dissent that you've probably been hearing. She said, throwing out preclearance when it has worked and is continuing to work to stop discriminatory changes is like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you are not getting wet. So the states could do everything that they wanted, and this is shortly hours afterwards, Texas put a voter ID law, which affected 600,000 hours. They were ready to go. Texas, 600,000 registered voters were then affected. In 2013, 25 states had voter ID laws. By 2020, 25 states then put in voter ID laws. Now, 35 states have voter ID laws. What's fucked up is that you can bring your gun license, and that's fine, but a student ID card, that's not okay. And remember,
what? Are you kidding me?
And some folks don't even have access to the documents they would need to show proof of citizenship in the specific way that they want. For example, if you're born in the Jim Crow South, you might not have a birth certificate because white hospitals wouldn't allow you to give birth there.
Wow.
21 million Americans don't have government ID. That is 10% of the electorate. And New Hampshire, Republicans passed laws making it harder for college students to vote locally, so that counts them out. And it's been proven that if you vote sometime between 18 and 24, you're more likely to continue voting in adulthood. It creates that habit. In North Dakota, they required a residential address or driver's license, and folks on reservations would need the government to grant them an address, but most of them had P.O. boxes, and then therefore they couldn't vote. And then a majority of, you know, these First Nations people, they didn't have those documents. And so in 2015, when this law was passed, one quarter didn't have an ID, and two-thirds of them didn't have the necessary documentation to even then get one. Let's go to Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, there was a voter ID law that was leading up to the 2016 elections. Republicans had not won that state in a long time. But one of them was like, oh, I think we're going to do fine because of the new voter ID law. 23,000 registered voters in Wisconsin were affected by this. Agent Orange won by 22,748.
I know.
There was the election right there. In Ohio, voter reg purges that we're having, that they were doing, we should have just automatic voter registration because people move. There should just be more of an automatic system. And again, in the United States is the only place where you can lose. If I don't drive for a few years, I don't lose my right to, you know, drive, you know, or like if you have a gun license, like losing my right because I didn't vote in an election. And again, Supreme Court 5-4 was like, oh, yep, that's fine. You didn't sign. They send you a postcard, but it looks like a trash, you know, and you had moved. 12 million folks are in Ohio. About 2 million were purged. 20% of those people, so about 400,000 were purged on an error. So that's 20% of those people. They had actually voted in a recent election, but through error, they had lost their right to vote. And
this is awful.
So about 1,600 polling stations have closed since the Shelby decision. Again, Shelby changed everything. The Shelby decision is what has allowed all of this to be able to happen, making it harder to vote. 214 polling places had closed in Georgia, so about 8%. I mean, this is just Jim Crow 2.0. In Georgia, 30% of the folks who are there are Black, but 70% of the ballots that were on hold were Black. Right? Because they are doing this exact match signature bullshit. And so this is in 2018, the election where Brian Kemp stole that election from Stacey Abrams as he was running the elections and didn't recuse himself for all those different shenanigans.
I know.
Just a couple more depressing facts for you.
Cool. No, but we need to hear this. We need to hear this.
Yes. So there was a voter, so everyone's talking, all of these things are supposedly in place for voter fraud, right? So let's talk about voter fraud for a second, right? So they did a study that between 2000 and 2011, they looked at 146 million total registered voters, and there was only 2,086 alleged voter fraud cases, and there were only 10 cases of voter impersonation reported out of 146 million. So you're putting, voter fraud's not real. It's not statistically. Though 2,000 in 11 years would move the needle. Does not move the needle in any election. So you're doing all of this stuff, and it's just infringing on our rights. And
scapegoat
for no reasons. Yeah.
Well, the reason is for racism.
Well, there you go. And so again, but remember, we live in a democracy
and power.
And so,
quote unquote.
This is in our hands to be able to turn this beat around. I do want to give a shout out. So remember, I talked about the Florida returning citizens were granted their right to vote. But then the Circuit Court of Appeals pretty much blocked about 800,000 of those Florida returning citizens because they said that they needed to finish paying off their fines, right? That's just a poll tax. And so it's bullshit. Props to Michael Bloomberg, who said, fuck your poll tax, because he raised $16 million to add to the $5 million from the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition to pay off 32,000 felons' fees. So
good. That's good.
So I know that's a lot. I know that's a lot. And I want you to expand, to take in the weight of this, because here's the thing. Everything I just listed, this is historic. Shit's been going right. down since day one. And so right. it's on us to turn that beat around. We have to do more than just political hobbyism. We have to do more than just, you know, engaging on social media, just listening to the news and not turning that into any bit of an action. I did something this past weekend. I signed up for text banking. Easiest thing in the entire world. I could watch Big Brother and send some text messages to people about voter registration. The Senate, all eyes on the Senate. The Senate is the thing that's going to be able to either stop the next Supreme Court justice that Agent Orange is going to try to drive through. I've adopted Arizona with Senator Mark Kelly, Gabby Gifford's husband. He's an astronaut. Because it's a special election. He could be brought in as early as November 30th. That is a vote on our side to be able to stop any shenanigans that are being pushed through. So the Senate is the thing that we definitely are going to need to have on. Postcard writing, calling your senator, putting pressure on them to delay the vote, donating. Feed your democratic spirit, like whether it's watching documentaries like All In or anything that's going to help, you know, you on this pathway, because like this doesn't stop in 2020 when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris win. We have a commitment to, again, like living in a democracy, it's a job. Like we as responsible citizens have a job to do, and that is to tell, oh, we want this law, we don't like that, we don't want this law, and to make our voices heard, because we do live in a representative democracy. It's not a parliament. It is dependent upon representation. But that is a challenge when they're taking away our representation. So we have to stay vigilant on it. I know everybody has their plates are full. We have 6 weeks. I challenge you to expand in whatever it is. If you can do, I can do 2 hours this week of text banking, and you can sign. I'll put links in there. It's again, you could watch your favorite TV show and send some text alerts out to people, or writing postcards, or fundraising for an organization or something. I think like we ought to find our lane or whatever it is and pick this up. Because as Michelle Obama said, right now, voting isn't enough. Like we have to be vigilant and check your voter registration. I'm checking almost like every day. And then get 5 other people to check their voter registration and spread it out and get them. Like I got 5 other people to sign up for text banking. And so now we're going to have like a little bit of a party, and it's going to be it's not as scary as you think it's going to be. So
no, I think that's great.
Soliloquy.
No, it's good. And thank you. Thanks, James. Yeah.
So I know it's a lot of information, but be inspired. It's nothing that we can't handle because we have to. Sure.
Hey, you like movies? What about coming up with movie ideas over the course of an hour? Because that's what we do every week on Story Break, a writer's room podcast where 3 Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for a movie or TV show based off of totally zany prompts.
Like that time we reimagined Star Wars based on our phone's autocomplete.
Luke Skywalker is a family man and it's Star Wars, but it's a good idea.
Okay, how about that time we broke the story of a bunch of Disney Channel original movies based solely on the title and the poster?
Okay, Sarah Hyland is a 50-foot woman. Let's just go with it, guys.
Or the time we finally cracked the Adobe Photoshop feature film.
Stamp tool is your Woody, and then the autofill is the new Buzz Lightyear.
Join us as we have a good time imagining all the movies Hollywood is too cowardly to make. Story Break comes out every Thursday on Maximum Fun. I don't know why I'm using this voice now.
We are so thrilled at your interest in attending Hieronymus Wiggenstaff's School for Heroism and Villainy. Wiggenstaff's beautiful campus boasts state-of-the-art facilities and instructors with real-world experience. We are also proud to say that our alumni have gone on to be professional heroes and villains in the most renowned kingdoms in the world. But of course, you are not applying to the main school, are you? You're applying for our sidekick and henchperson annex. You will still benefit from the school's amazing campus, and you'll have a lifetime of steady employment. Of course, there's no guarantee how long that lifetime will be.
Join the McElroys as they return to Dungeons & Dragons with The Adventure Zone Graduation. Every other Thursday on Maximum Fun, or wherever podcasts are found.
All right, well, let's get into the corner.
Aneke, she's got the information for you. I hope it's not a serious, sad topic because the song would be inappropriate.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's, I mean, we're dealing with some major themes, but I wanted to do we like talk about, you know, big topics, overarching topics, but I like to always bring it into like a personal aspect, and I kind of want to do a look at a woman of history. This is from the New York Times. They have this series where they look at obituaries of overlooked people, and they kind of do a deep dive into their lives. And this woman, I 100% feel there should be a movie about her. You know,
okay, I'm calling it.
Take note, Hollywood. This would be an excellent movie.
And maybe don't take some of that, you know, money that would be censoring this story.
No, don't censor this story. Keep this story as is. This is... Okay, so we're going to be talking about Jovita Idar. And we'll just go through it. Let's just talk about her life. And at the end, you know, we'll rejoice. So... Okay.
Yay! There will be mass rejoicing.
Jovita Idar was born September 7th, 1885 in Laredo, Texas. Okay? And Laredo, Texas is a city that's on the Mexican border. And I like this story because this is right around during the time, remember when I did my corner on the Texas Rangers, and you, yes. I think that you did a rewind on it pretty recently.
And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that rewind, it's very close to your browsing fingertips.
Excellent. So this is like a nice little, we're going to talk about a person who was around during that time and what she did that was badass and awesome. Okay. So Jovita Idar, she was the second of 8 children, which is like crazy. Now that I've had a baby, I used to hear these things where people would be like, oh yeah, they have like 10 kids. And I'd be like, ooh, that sounds like a lot, but whatever. Now I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, so Jovita, her parents were Jovita and Nastasio Idar. And you know what? I love a woman who's named after her mom. That's always, you don't hear a lot about lady juniors. So she's a lady junior.
You know, I'm sad that I'm waiting for a Neke Jr. to be around.
I don't have the balls for that, man. I wish that I had the balls to be like, this is Neke Jr. I don't, but I love it.
My name is your name. Like,
exactly. I love it. It's like a given for like sons. Why can't it be a given for daughters? You know,
you're like, oh, I am dope. My name is dope. Here you go. Passing on some dopeness to you.
Exactly. Pass it on to a third if you like. Take, you know, keep it going. Just keep
take it and run it, little baby Neke. I'll name my daughter Aneke Jr.
Aw, thank you. Legacy. So Yofita's dad, Nastasio Idar, was an activist. He worked as an editor and publisher of the local Spanish newspaper, La Cronica. So laws of the Jim Crow era, they enforced racial segregation. You touched on it a little bit in the last piece, a lot of voter suppression. They also limited the rights of Mexican Americans in South Texas, like you talked about, with that's what's old is new. And scholars very geniusly decided, instead of calling it Jim Crow, they called it Juan Crow, which is, come on, scholars.
Oh my God.
Should we even say scholars? Because
I think it's just like, I don't know, somebody who solves a crossword puzzle, if that.
Yeah. Rude person. So something the signs during this time in like a lot of towns on the Mexican border in Texas said things like, no Negroes, Mexicans, or dogs allowed, which is like, cool, great, thanks, awesome.
And that's purposely done. So
yes. So they were in a lot of places like restaurants and stores. Law enforcement officers frequently intimidated and abused Mexican-American residents. And the schools they were sent to were underfunded, often inadequate. And speaking in Spanish was in public was discouraged. So a lot of this, I'm bringing this up, and I'm glad that I'm bringing this up because this ties everything that we've talked about before. This has a direct connection to how ICE is behaving today. This is the root of it. This is the root racism that is causing ICE. ICE didn't just pop up out of nowhere. It wasn't just like, bloop, here's ICE. Now it's like, woven in the fabric.
And this is happening in Texas, correct?
Oh, yes.
And so remind you that these, like, so they can't speak Spanish. They're not allowed to speak Spanish.
Discouraged.
publicly discouraged, aka because got beat down probably.
How Texas, like they were Mexicans and then they became Mexican Americans because yes. of the purchase of land. And so that is like a million times fucked up to be like, stop speaking that language, speak this. But that's the history.
Right.
Of, you know, the, I mean, about let's, Texas was fucked up.
Let's remember the flag of settlers in Mexico who stole a cannon of the Mexican army. These are settlers. These are people that are on Mexican, that are American settlers in Mexican land, took a cannon, were so bold to put on the cannon a picture of the cannon with the words underneath it, come and get it, and then this steal the country, call it Texas, now it's America, and now they're like, don't speak Spanish. It's insane.
Yep, totally.
Anywho, Jovita Idar, this is what a Jovita Idar is growing up in, okay? So this is already a lot of shit that she's having to deal with. This is her priming growing up stage, right?
Yeah.
This is a lot to deal with.
You think you
right?
got a lot to deal? She didn't have Netflix, y'all.
Anyway, so educated in Methodist schools, she received a teaching certificate from the Laredo Seminary and went on to teach young children in small towns in Southeast Texas. So she became a teacher. She did this, and she was one of the luckier people to get an education that she did. A lot of people at that time didn't get an education. But while she was teaching in these schools, she was appalled by the school conditions because, like we said, of the Jim Crow laws that were basically affecting Mexican Americans at the time in Texas. The like we know about in what we've talked about before with educational laws with Black people in the South, rundown buildings, lack of books, that separate but equal is not true. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she decided, she's like, I'm not standing for this shit. And she decided to focus on activism. She's like, fuck you, I'm going to be an activist. I'm a badass lady. I like to write. And I have a public medium called La Cronica, which my dad works at, and so does my brother. So I'm going to go and work there too. So she started working at La Cronica.
I was gonna say she reminds me of you, but then you read everything else. The only reason why I was gonna say that is like, you're like, and she likes to write, and I'm like, Aneke, it sounds like,
yeah, no, I mean,
always the momager. I'm always like, ooh, that sounds like you, baby girl.
Yeah, but you know what, I am an older woman now, so.
And your dad did not own a newspaper called
La Cronica. Jovita's dad was the editor and publisher. I don't think he owned La Cronica, but anyways, he was able to get her in. Nepotism working at its best right here.
I love me some so, nepotism sometimes.
Especially when it's handled properly, if it's like getting legit people in there. Okay, so she, after she started working at La Cronica, she started to hear about all these horrible stories because people were writing about them, like lynching of Mexican-American men. Mm. She just got further and further into activism and really fought for civil rights. Okay. She would write and talk about the belief that poor living on both sides of the border could be uplifted by education and empowerment. Okay. So while she reported for La Cronica, she mostly wrote about borderlands, like, you know, the different cities on either side of the border. She also wrote about the Mexican Revolution, and she focused a lot on Mexican Americans known as Tejanos. Okay, that's the group of people that she really focused on,
which we did a corner on that a few years ago as well. Mm-hmm. So look for a rewind.
You know what, we can make a curriculum, put a course pack with all these different, you know, put them together. So Jovita Idar, she wouldn't just write under her name. She would write under pen names, which I thought was really interesting. One of them was the name Astrea, the name of the Greek goddess of justice, and Ava Negra, Spanish for blackbird. Isn't that, that's the name of the movie right there. Ava Negra.
Blackbird. Ava Negra.
Yep.
Yes, get on it.
Yeah, so Idar would write about equal rights for women and regularly encouraged women to educate themselves and seek independence from men.
Eva Longoria, that's who I cast as this.
Oh, I could see that, but I even say, let's get somebody, sorry, Eva, but let's get somebody younger.
Wow. Okay, so you could play younger. Or how about this? She'll direct, and it's going to be an up and coming, because Eva Longoria will be directing. And
just yes.
Out of that.
I'm really into that. I'm into Eva Longoria directing, because this is a young woman.
It's a young, okay.
This is a young woman who is doing this. And, you know, we got to open up the pathways for our upcoming Gen Z actresses.
You're right.
Okay. So in 1911, she joined the first Mexican Congress of Laredo, Mexican-American activists. She then started this group, Liga Femenil Mexanista, or the League of Mexican Women. So she's starting organizations. She's writing for the newspaper. She's encouraging women to go like seek independence. She's looking out for Mexican American people. She's writing anti-lynching things, right? In 1913, during the Battle of Nuevo Laredo in the Mexican Revolution, Idar had left Laredo to cross the border. She worked with La Cruz Blanca, a medical aid group similar to the Red Cross, as a nurse for the goddamn army.
Wow. This movie's mm-hmm. amazing.
Right? She came back to Laredo after working as a nurse during a revolution in the army, and she began working for El Progreso, which is a newspaper. So, 1914, setting the scene. Mm. We do a close-up on the newspaper building, the office of El Progreso, right? Yeah. Texas Rangers show up. Bang, 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 bang. We want to shut you down, Jovita. She comes out. She's the writer and editor. And she goes, you can't fucking come in here.
Ooh.
Isn't that good? That's
yes.
good.
Also, I think, sorry, Eva Longoria, Aneke has been hired as the director for this piece. It was a really good pitch.
Thank you.
A really good pitch.
Wow. Taking it to Netflix. So, thanks, James. So she blocks Texas Rangers from entering the building, and she doesn't back down. So the Texas Rangers, who, you know, at this point were just like brutalizing people, just being awful. They were angry.
Change that team name.
I know. Change that team name. They were angry because there was an editorial in the El Progreso criticizing President Woodrow Wilson, who was a dick, P.S. Mm-hmm, so I'm glad that they criticized him. But they criticized him over his ruling to send military troops to the Texas-Mexican border during the Mexican Revolution. So Idar, she argued that silencing the newspaper would violate its constitutional right to freedom under the press, under the First Amendment.
I would have said the same thing, girl. I would have said the same thing. I was like, that's a violation of the First Amendment, and she already saying it. So she writes.
Yeah, she and she got it down.
How they continuously, because I mean, they constantly, even now you're seeing, like, I know in the last time you looked at the Bill of Rights, if you go through it, you'll be like, oh, this shit isn't happening. Like, our rights are constantly being taken away from us. And so it's interesting 100. That even then, in the early 1900s, they're infringing on people's rights. Like, you said I could have this thing, and oh, I can't do it. Oh, me, not me.
I know, exactly. So to add a little bit of drama, so the Rangers left, right? They eventually turned away. But the next day, they waited until Idar was gone. And then they ransacked the office. They smashed and destroyed the printing presses.
Wow.
I know, right?
That's
crazy.
Insane. And there's no ACLU at the point that time to be
nothing.
Y'all cut this shit out.
Nope, she had to take it on the head. Mm. Okay, so after that, you know, so she ends up, she marries this guy named Bartolo Juarez. So, you know, get a love story in 1917. She moves to San Antonio, where the couple establishes a local Democratic club. And she works as a precinct judge for the party. So she's like high up in this like political club. She establishes a free kindergarten. She works as a hospital as an interpreter for Spanish speaking patients. And then she taught infant care courses to women, all while editing the El Hurtado Cristiano, a Methodist church newspaper. So, I know, so busy.
She's out there doing it for herself and for everybody else.
Ready? Listen to this part. This is the most, this is another added layer of drama on top of all of this. So Jovita Idar, she never had children of her own, but she helped to raise the children of her sister, Elvira, who died while giving birth.
Oh, no.
Can you believe that? She raised her children's, her sister's daughter who died while giving birth. Meanwhile, doing all of this amazing shit. And she ended up, and this is sad, she ended up dying of a pulmonary hemorrhage after advanced tuberculosis. So she died of tuberculosis. No. Dramatic Hollywood death, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 1946, 60.
See, that ain't that... See,
young!
And she... Amazing! I'm also going to wager that as a Latina woman, she and her sister probably did not get the best healthcare.
No, of course not. She actively had to do the healthcare herself by going into the hospital and advocating for people and teaching them infant care use and all of that. Like, it's insane. But the amount that she got done in 60 years is a testament. What an amazing woman. During that time period? Holy moly.
American hero and what it's placed in. You're right, like... Eva Longoria, I know you're listening. I think that you should help produce this. And Nikki said
executive producer.
Nikki said that she's ready to throw down as director. You saw her pitch. Yes. You heard her pitch.
I'm ready.
She's great and ready. We're figuring out what my role is. We'll figure out what I'm going to be doing. Maybe her assistant. I'll be her assistant. Big thanks to Aneke, always so great to have her back. And that's going to do it for us. I know it was a lot of information to give out to you all about voter suppression, but next week we are going to have Amanda Wilkerson here on the show, a friend of mine who has been doing community activism and voter registrations and helping out with campaigns for well over a decade. And so she's going to be here and she's going to help us get activated and help us to create our election plan if we don't already have one, and help to keep us motivated and let us know all the different orgs and actions that we can be taking with 6 weeks left to go to the election, and also things to be doing after the election as well. So do not despair. We're just going to take all this knowledge and turn it into action. Big thank you to the Minority Corner team. We got Sarah Brown on the editing, and big thanks to Sam Jackson, our production assistant coordinator, helping all behind the scenes. And a big thank you to our MaxFun members and all of you listeners. We thank you all so much. You can tweet at us at Minority Corner or join us on Instagram, and there's the Minority Corner Kids Playground as well. We'll be back on Tuesday with a little something for you. So there we go. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back on Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. Love ya.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.